Well, church, we are continuing on in season 8 of Heart Strong. If you are just joining us today, we as a church are on a 3-year journey through Scripture. 3 years ago, almost, which is wild, over 2.5 years ago, to be more precise, we started in the book of Matthew, and we now find ourselves in the book of Jeremiah. Last week, we dove into the book of Acts as we kind of paused in our readings of Jeremiah to still address what was happening to the Israelites, but through the eyes of Paul in the midst of a shipwreck. And so just as an encouragement and as a continuation, if you're here today and you find yourself still holding on to the plank, remember that God is faithful and he sees you. This week, we're going to be reading from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 29. Chapter 29. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah 29. We'll be reading a little bit from chapter 28 as well, which will be super easy for you to kind of flip back and forth. We're going to cover a very well-known portion of Scripture eventually as we're reading together, but we're going to build the context, and we're going to walk out of here this morning with a deeper understanding of God's Word. So church, let's open this morning in prayer. God, I thank you so much. God, I just lift up Samson and his family. I lift up Jesse. I lift up Gabby, Lord God, and I declare such a rich week over them today, Lord God. Lord, I pray that the smiles that are found on their face today, Lord, that it would carry over into their Monday and their Tuesday, and may all the people that they interact with this week say, "What is going on?" And may they respond with one thing: Jesus. God, I pray this morning that you would be the reason that everything shifts. Lord, be our source of hope. Be our source of joy. God, be our strength this morning. God, for those that are in need this morning, I pray that you would fill them with your rest. God, I pray your peace over this room. God, we know that you are present here today. And so we just declare that you are invited today, Lord Jesus, to sit with us, to speak amongst us, and to have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, church, if you can't tell with the smile on my face, I'm fired up. Baptism Sundays are my favorite. I will try to stick as close to these notes as I can today, but no promises. I will try to release you on time today, but no promises. It is such an exciting moment when people take that step of faith. It's such an exciting moment to hear about where it is that God has brought them. And you didn't have time to go through all of the stories this morning, but after service, if you see one of our candidates, I encourage you to pause them and just ask them for more, to give them a word of encouragement, to come to Rooted, to come to Discipleship Night, to continue to build into the relationship of those that are sitting around you. Coming to church on Sunday is fantastic, right? This thing that we call church, it's really just an empty building until the church actually fills it up. Right? And so coming and being a part of this on Sundays is fantastic. My prayer is that it would be a regular part of your week and a regular part of your commitment and your following of God. But it is so much more than showing up on a Sunday morning. If you're here today and you don't know the person to your right or to your left, I'm telling you, you're missing out. Because the stories that are represented here today are so much bigger than what they could summarize in like a two paragraph sentence that they had me read out. There's stories of God being there in the midst of lost hope. There's stories of supernatural healing. There's stories of deliverance. There's stories of God showing up when it was least expected, and yet he is God. And this morning, we're going to read a continuation of that type of a story. What does life look like when God doesn't move in our timing? What does life look like when God doesn't move when we want him to? Now, timing is something that I'm still working on. The very first Sunday that I ever showed up here to preach, Pastor Lori and a couple of our other staff from a couple of our other campuses were present. And so Pastor Lori, if you're new, Pastor Lori is our lead pastor, one of our lead pastors who works out of our Orleans campus. And so they were in attendance that morning. And after the 9 a.m. service, as I exited the stage, I hadn't yet acquired my race to the door to try to beat you guys there. And so I just kind of exited the stage, and Pastor Lori tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Congratulations. I think that's the longest sermon that's ever been preached here ever." And so timing is something from the very beginning of stepping into this position that I have worked on. I continue to work on it. But how many of you are here today, and when your timing is thrown off, oh, right? It just like shivers up your spine. Like if you were the person on Sunday morning with the stopwatch, you know, we're supposed to be done by 10:15. Like you're the type of person who's like, anytime, Pastor Mitch, anytime, right? When I say last thing, you're like, okay, great, 10 more minutes, here we go. But timing is an extremely important piece. It's something that I continue to work on in my own life, especially as I've stepped into a role of leadership, right? Like one of the core values of leadership is that you don't ask someone to do anything that you're not willing to do yourself. And so in order to be people that honor others' time, it's something that I diligently work on each and every week, not something that I've accepted in my life as, oh, well, that's just one of my faults. People tend to make fun of me for it, but it's not something that I've accepted in my own life. Timing is something that when it is thrown off, you feel it. There's no greater example than this than booking a flight. Have you ever been there in that moment where you've booked the flight and there's a departure time that is on your ticket? And so you've worked hard to get to the airport on time. You've worked hard to get through security on time. And you're waiting at the gate and it comes over the loudspeaker before you even get to see it displayed on any of the TVs. The departure time has been delayed, right? And then your immediately question is, for how long? It's that moment where everything else has been put into place, right? You have done the best that you possibly can, and yet you have approached a situation where you are not in control. The reason why an airline or a flight is such a great example is because we all feel it in traffic every day, right? But you also feel the temptation in traffic to take control of that. Right? You've seen those people where all of a sudden they zoom by you on a lane that's not a lane, right? The beautiful thing about the airline is the majority of us this morning, not saying that some of you don't have this, but the majority of us do not have a pilot's license. And so you are completely at the discretion of the airline, knowing that you can't simply put your hand up and say, I got this. I have some place to be. Give me the steering wheel or whatever it is in an air. I don't even know what's in the cockpit, but I can do it. And this is exactly where we find ourselves in the story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has prophesied to the Israelite people that there is coming a season of exile because of the idolization that they had established in their culture, because of their willingness to so constantly turn from the direction of the Lord. Jeremiah has prophesied that such a time has come. In Isaiah 28 and 29, it has happened. The Israelites have found themselves captive under Babylonian rule. But in the midst of all of the prophecy that we have read, although there is judgment, although there is rebuke, although there is God saying it is time for correction, there was always a message of salvation. There was always a message of redemption. Even in a time of correction, God continually spoke to his people and said, "But I haven't changed my mind about you. I still love you with everything that I have. Although you have broken the covenant, I am the keeper of the covenant and I have not moved." There will be a time where there will be correction. There will be a time where there will be judgment, but know this, that I will redeem what it is that has been lost, that I will restore and that I have a plan. And so the Israelites find themselves in exile. And Jeremiah in chapter 29 comes and speaks to them and says this: "This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. To all the exiles I deported from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat the produce. Find wives for yourselves and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters to men in marriage so that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Pursue the well-being of the city that I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it thrives, you will thrive." The Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, begins to ask many questions that the Israelite people are posing to God. "God, where are you? What is your plan for us? How quickly will you remove us from this place?" And God's response to his people isn't exactly what it is that they're desiring to hear. Like, there's a blessing that I read there in the midst of this, right? Where it is that I have placed you, you need to desire to thrive in that place, multiply in that place, honor the nation in which you find yourself in, even though it's not the nation that you would desire, even though the leadership isn't what you would desire, your call is to still represent who I am in all things. This isn't what they wanted to hear. Their desire was actually already prophesied about just shortly before Jeremiah comes. And we'll get into why this is so important, why it starts with, this is what the Lord of armies, this is what God declares. But they were looking for a different message. You'll actually see this in the Gospels. That part of the temptation for us as believers, as we hear the blessings that God wants to pour upon his people, is we immediately begin to interpret that through our own hearts, don't we? Right? How many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when Jesus was standing right in front of them, the Messiah in flesh was standing there, and they knew that God had promised the Messiah, but the problem was Jesus didn't look anything what they were looking for. They wanted a deliverer from Rome. They wanted someone who was going to elevate their position and their power even more than what they had under Rome. They wanted someone to overthrow the government. They wanted someone to step in and carve for themselves a place. And yet Jesus was there and they missed it. They find, the Israelites right now find themselves in exile, and yet they know that God will deliver them. They're just now tired of waiting. But beloved, I want to encourage you that through the verses of Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7, God would speak this truth over you. That delay doesn't have to lead to demoralization. Delay doesn't have to lead to demoralization. Becoming demoralized in our walk with God happens when our deepest expectations are unmet. When we have desires and plans for God and how things should be and how things should go out, and we find ourselves in this position of knowing in our heads that God is who he says that he is, but allowing that information to stop there because our heart is being broken into pieces. Demoralization happens in situations where God doesn't move at the expedience that we would desire from him. Jeremiah 28, verses 2 to 4. This portion of scripture, we read second because Jeremiah's portion is actually a response to what it is that we're about to read here. See, there were other prophets or those who were speaking as though they were prophets at the time. And here we have one individual prophet who comes into the story and begins to speak on God's behalf when he hasn't actually asked him to. His name is Hananiah, and he says this. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. You note that if you have your physical Bible open, you can highlight verses 29, verses 4 to 7, how it starts. And also Hananiah's false prophecy starts the same way. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will restore this place, all the articles of the Lord's temple that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took from here and transported to Babylon. And I will restore to this place Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, son of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon. This is the Lord's declaration, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. To Jeremiah's prophecy and what it is that he's speaking on behalf of the Lord, there would have been a lot of what? Multiply, thrive, prosper here, continue to help to make the nation of Babylon great. What is going on? But to the prophecy of Hananiah, how many of you know that there would have been celebration? A very short window. Within 2 years, Hananiah declares, the Lord will not only break Babylon, but will restore all the things that King Nebuchadnezzar has taken. The Israelites who are listening to this prophet's prophecy on behalf of the Lord, so he claims, would have been celebrating and rejoicing. We can do anything for 2 years. That's not so long of a period. In hearing what it is that Hananiah was speaking, There would have been a celebration, but Jeremiah quickly, in his response, allows the people to hear this, that just because someone says, this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says, does not mean it's what God is speaking. Hananiah doesn't like the correction and certainly isn't pleased, because Hananiah, in his misrepresenting of the Lord's words, will actually have a consequence spoken over him and from Jeremiah in chapter 28, verses 15 to 17. And we need to listen very, very carefully this morning through the fear of the Lord to the specific rebuke that God brings against Hananiah. So the prophet Jeremiah stepped in and said these words to the prophet Hananiah. Listen, Hananiah, the Lord did not send you, and you have led these people to trust in a lie. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I am about to send you off the face of the earth. You will die this year because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. And the prophet Hananiah died that year in the seventh month. Before returning to the story in Jeremiah, let's pull this thread a little bit all the way to Rome. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul writes these words in this identical issue. It's what makes those who claim to be wise fools. Romans chapter 1, verses 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served what had been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Church, it's important for us this morning that simply because somebody says that this is what the Lord says, or because somebody simply says this is what the Word of God says, right? Even for each and every one of us here on a Sunday morning, the Word of God would charge you to not take my words, as law, right? But to actually go and to discern and to make sure that as a collective body that we are discerning what it is that God is speaking. Hallelujah. It's important, especially in the age of YouTube and TikTok and all the other things where so many people have so many opinions that they know nothing about, and yet they state them. And, you know, sometimes you can come across these opinions and they have an exorbitant amount of likes. But if it doesn't line up with God's word, it may be pleasing to the ears. It may be exactly what it is that people want to hear. But church, if it's not God, it's not God. And our desire is to follow after the Lord. Our desire is to hear what God would have for us. As pastors here at Life Center, that is a constant discernment. There are so many different directions that if God chooses, He could take this church. And we truly believe that He wants to do profound, profound things in this city. But there is zero desire from the pastors across all of our campuses to walk anywhere where God is not sending us. To speak in a way that would be exactly what it is that maybe we think our city needs to hear. But what if God takes us in exact opposite direction? Church, it is better to follow the Lord than to follow a plan that looks good. It is better to follow the Lord because He knows the way and He is faithful and He holds our future. He knows our tomorrow. And even though something may satisfy for literally tomorrow, what it is that we can cause in harm by following after our own way or following after what sounds good to us can do such harm 5 years down the road. Some of us have lived that, making that decision where you're looking at the plane and saying, well, it's just one wing missing. Right? Like even if it took an extra half an hour because the plane is doing a couple circles in the air, as long as we make it there. The Israelites hear from Hananiah that they will only be in exile for another 2 years, and there's an excitement there. And the prophet Jeremiah, God bless his soul, steps in and says, no, it's not actually going to be 2 years. It's going to be a little longer than that. Jeremiah 29, verses 7 and then verse 10 says this. Pursue the well-being of the city that I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it thrives, you will thrive. Then verse 10. For this is what the Lord says. When 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you, will confirm my promise, considering you to restore you to this place. 70 years? Did you all read that? Right? That's a little different than two. It's a little different than a plane being delayed when they say, actually, we're going to have to reschedule you. Are you kidding me? But is it not better to be rescheduled than be placed on a plane that's not safe? See, the Israelites have heard what it is that they want to hear. Hananiah brings this message, but he brings it totally out of obedience to the people. He hears their cries, and maybe his intentions are good, but he declares, this is what the Lord says, and the Lord comes back and says, but I didn't. I didn't open that door. I didn't ask you to speak in that way to that group of people. I didn't tell you to sugarcoat my word. Last Wednesday, we started at Discipleship Night a mini-series on healing. And this week, we're going to continue. And 2 weeks from now, we invite everyone in this room. We're going to have a healing service on Wednesday night. And as we began our discussion on healing, I very quickly transitioned us from healing into suffering. Because if a church is going to have a really robust theology and an excitement about healing, it also has to have a true and honest discussion about suffering. Because it's important. Church, we are blessed beyond our wildest imagination, right? Like, if you don't believe me, just look over there to the cross. Right? It speaks for itself. Come on, somebody. We are blessed beyond our wildest imagination. To follow the Lord means that He has an overwhelming amount of desire in your life that you would be free, that you would be blessed, that you would prosper, that you would multiply, that you would step into all of these different places. He's just doing all of these things. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't even have to describe blessing to you because all of your sins are forgiven. Your name is written down in glory. He holds you in His hand, and nothing can take that away. This is the God that we serve. But Jesus told His disciples that if you follow after me, you better be ready for trials and tribulation. And so it's important that as a congregation, that we declare the blessing of the Lord, but that we also declare that He is coming and yet not here yet. That heaven is present in this place and yet still yet to be fully realized. That church, we are going to see people week after week. I truly believe that we're going to see healing fall on this place. That there's going to be testimony of the great and miraculous things that only God can do. And so we're going to rejoice and we're going to celebrate with those who are rejoicing. And it's going to be awesome. But here's also my promise to you. That we are also prepared and ready to grieve with those who are grieving. Hello? We are also ready and prepared to grieve with those who are grieving, because just as Jesus proclaims in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, if you are willing, would you please take this cup? But your will and not my will be done. Just as we talked about last week, we continue on in this discussion. The Israelite people are ready to hear that their time in captivity will be short. They are obviously remorseful. They're probably in the midst of repentance. They understand everything that what Jeremiah was saying is true. The prophecies from the Lord have come to pass. But they also remember that He promised to deliver them. And oh, don't we all wish that God would move on our time. But beloved, this morning, as the old saying goes, delay does not mean denial. Delay does not mean denial. Because immediately after that verse, the proclamation of 70 years in exile, this verse comes to pass. Jeremiah 29:11. Do you know it? For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will come to me, you will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search with all of your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore to you to the place from which I deported you. Jeremiah 29:10-14. It's a bigger understanding of that verse now, though, isn't it? How many times did we put it on our pens and find it in our Bibles or declare it over our season of struggle, saying, God, I know that you have a plan for me. But this message, this prophecy was given to the Israelites directly after reminding them that this is going to take a minute. This is going to take a minute. It's not going to be the 2 years that you were hoping for, because in my plan, in my will, this will be 70 years of exile. But know this, I am with you always till the end of the age. That even in the midst of this exile that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself, you can actually still thrive and you can still prosper in the waiting season. You can rejoice and you can be glad that no matter where it is, no matter how small, church, the plank is that you're holding on to, you are not holding on alone. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are present with you in the midst of the storm. What have we said before? As those waves are crashing, as that wind is blowing, you need to remember that Jesus is on the water. He is walking towards you. He is in the boat in the midst of the storm. And sometimes before he can speak to the winds and the waves, he needs to get our attention and speak to us and say, hey, peace, be still. Ooh. Know that I am God. This morning, maybe you're here and you have a lot of questions about the season that you find yourself in. Maybe you're here and you're praying for a quick exit out of this season. Church, none of that is wrong. God's not afraid of your questions. He will be present in your questions. But delay doesn't have to lead to demoralization. This story in Jeremiah 29 is a story about truth and lies. It's a story about truth and lies and trusting God. It's a story about truth and lies and trusting God, even in life's delays. It's a powerful reminder for all of us today that just because we like what someone is saying doesn't mean that it's accurate to the word of the Lord, and it doesn't mean that it should be applied to our lives. Becoming more like Jesus never goes on sale. There are miracles, but never shortcuts. Yes, God's plan for each of you is that your life would be well, that your future would be rooted in hope. And to trust in them, we may need to situate our heart and decide in our own lives where we say, God, this is my desire to follow you wherever it is that you should lead me. You see the storm that's raging. You see what's going on. God, if it is in your will, bring it quickly. But Lord, even if you don't deliver us from the fire, you're still God. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Church, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today that testimonies are the greatest thing ever. Amen? Isn't it so good? Like listening to everything that was shared today. How many times we have individuals step up here. If you're not a part of the prayer team and you're hungry for more testimony, you need to see Lindsay after service and join the prayer team, because things are happening in our midst all the time. It is amazing to testify about what it is that God has done. But some of the most powerful testimonies that your coworkers, young people, your fellow peers and students at school, your neighbors, some of the most powerful testimony that they will see is when you're in the middle of the storm and they ask what's going on and you say, all I'm doing is following Jesus. Following Jesus. How can you trust him? That person is past. How are you going to meet? I don't know. But what I do know is that my God hasn't changed, even though my situation is not what I would have chosen. And even though I don't know when and how and where, I know that he will. How can you have that type of belief and that type of faith? Because what Jesus did on the cross is greater than any weapon or attack or situation that I can find myself in. And so, church, I leave you with this encouragement today. That when we pray, God listens. When we seek, God can be found, even in exile. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Because while it might take longer to reach our destination, listen to these words this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Church, he is in control. He is seated on the throne. And this morning, may the Holy Spirit open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to remembrance that no matter what it is that we hear on the news, no matter what it is that we read online, no matter what it is that the enemy is coming against you, he is king. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for your prophet Jeremiah. Lord, I thank you for just a deeper understanding that simply because you may find us in a situation where we haven't heard from you in a bit, or we're in a season of silence, or in a season of chaos, it does not equate to your absence. You are present with us in it all. And so this morning, Lord Jesus, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, would you encourage the hearts of each person in this room today? God, those in this room that are desperately clinging on to faith, God, I pray that their faith would be restored this morning and renewed. God, I pray that they would receive a strength that can only come from you. God, as we have our own timelines today, Lord Jesus, we submit to your timeline because we're not getting on a plane with a broken wing, God. We want to follow your direction for our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that it would lead to more and more and more and more salvation in our friends and our families. God, I pray that it would lead to a deepening of strength and renewal of our lives in you. And Lord, may it continue, Lord Jesus, our faith in you. May it continue, Lord Jesus, to produce testimonies like we heard today from those incredible baptism candidates. To you and to you alone, may all the glory and all the praise and all the worship be. In Jesus' name, amen.